It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
They look like they're a buyer at this point. I don't know. There are some teams that try to do both and thread the needle, as they say, or whatever. I don't, you know, you better be a super genius to work that out. I don't see it. I think, you know, they look like a buyer at this point.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Come on, John, take them at their word. I don't think they're a buyer or a seller. I think they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do. Would not surprise me at all if Jameson Taillon moves before the deadline today. That's the next name I have circled as if somebody is next. As if I'm handicapping it right now, Taillon would be the logical move to make.
Okay, but then that flies in the face of what Jed has talked about.
Well, Jed has talked about making a move that would help them next year as well. And I also think they might be looking at it as a particular sell high moment for Taillon.
Okay. They don't think that he's going to be this guy for the next 2 years. And
right.
He's worked his way like all the way back. So, yeah, I guess it fits perfectly with the idea of the sell high moment. It's just it seems like, well, it's hard to find good pitching at that price, which is why someone would want him, knowing that he's got two more years left on his deal worth $34 million for those next 2 years, which is a steal for a guy that even if you're projecting him as your number four starter, it's a steal. But especially if you're projecting him as your number three starter. So I will keep my eyes open. I would also say I would put Nico Hoerner on that list. Guys that gets moved before tomorrow.
See, that I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard quite the same kind of buzz on that.
He's the type of player that would make sense for them to move. There's also, and you also have some choices of what you can do there. Michael Busch, wasn't he his second baseman? Played first, second, and third, right? Isn't that his deal?
Yeah, I don't think he's a full-time second baseman.
You can bring Nick Madrigal back.
Would you stop it?
What?
I'm declaring the bit over.
Not until he's gone from the organization is not.
I'm gonna bury this whole bit. So as long as he's in the organization, the bit keeps going.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with that because who knows? We could see him back at any time.
Is he still hurt? Isn't that the reason why he's not back? Is that he's hurt?
No, he's bad.
Well, I mean, Mastroboni's kind of bad too, but yeah, I think he's true, better than Madrigal.
This is at least
because he's bad.
Maybe it's at the end of Mastroboni too, but at least Mastroboni is somewhat fast.
Yeah, and he's—I think—a more representative defender.
I agree.
Than Madrigal is
more conventional, certainly.
Yes. So you know, we'll see what ends up happening. I am curious about this, like how all of this goes, like what steps Jed and Carter are going to take over the next 48 hours to figure this whole thing out.
Our trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's hear some thoughts about what's going on from Craig Counsell. First, let's get exactly what he said in reaction to the Morrell deal.
It's always
you know, a little bit strange trading, telling someone during the game that they've been traded. You know, it was certainly surprising and shocking to Chris. And he's, you know, provided Cubs fans with a lot of memories for sure, even in a short time here. In the end, we think we got a third baseman who's been a really good offensive player in this league and can do really well for us at position.
Just in the short time that you've known Morel, like, what's been the biggest impression?
It's certainly the same thing that we all see. It's his, he has a outlook and demeanor that makes it fun to be around him. He loves playing. And that joy that he that's just his outlook on life, is certainly, you know, it's present no matter what's going on, no matter how he's playing, no matter how the team's playing, no matter what's going on. It's indicated by how he treats people. He's an example for all of us in that regard. So you learn that, and he's a talented kid who's just, you know, this year, unfortunately, the offensive, he kind of got off to some tough luck to start the season, and could never really get on track.
Yeah, Morel is fun and nice and telegenic and exciting. There's no question, and it's hard to part with those things. So, Craig Counsell, why don't you give us your scouting report, what you know about Isaac Paredes?
I think this is just a good offensive player. You know, he's been a third baseman in this league for a couple of years now, and done a good job over there. So we think we're, you know, adding a solid third baseman.
This may be a better question for Jed or someone in the front office, but as far as his pull power and everything comes to the pull side when it comes to his home run, what makes you confident that he can continue to tap into that power at Wrigley?
Well, pulling the ball in the air is just a tough, it's a hard thing to do to begin to, just for anybody. And it's a good trait for hitters. You know, no matter what park you're in, that's a good trait. You know, Wrigley is a confusing park when it comes to offense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been saying all year.
That nervous laugh was telling, huh?
Yes, it was. Hey, here's a question for you. If this is your everyday third baseman, what happens with Shawfax?
Well,
I don't mean a prospect hump, but isn't he the next big thing? He plays multiple positions though, right? If you were to trade Nico, he could theoretically play second eventually, correct?
I guess, but the whole point of eventually isn't for a team like the Cubs that's talking about competing next year. We're not supposed to use the word eventually.
Okay.
And it's still obviously we know.
But if you're the Cubs and part of your sell on this is we have a third baseman who's 25 and he's under contract through he's 27. So we've got a player that's controllable for a while.
Then Shaw's blocked and maybe you move him.
Okay. Shawfax.
Because that's what I don't know if they've got somebody coming in Tampa who they thought was going to be ready to unseat an all-star third baseman. But as they're moving pieces around too, like, you wouldn't have gotten Bush unless you found him.
Was blocked. He was blocked at Dodgers.
On a much better team with a ton more talent. So you're like, well, I guess we'll grab him from you. So I don't know. Why would they move Paredes? Is it Paredes or Paredes?
Chirisa.
Robinson Chirisa. That's the question. Why would they want to move him?
Yeah, that should be your question whenever you're making deals
Robinson
with the Rays.
Chirisa.
Whenever you make a deal with the Rays, it should be like, why do we want that guy? And maybe we'll find out.
I know Heyman this morning didn't seem to love it. He talked a lot about, like, his expecteds aren't great. He's a dead pole hitter.
He is a
so
and Wolverine
and Wolverine. But did they get Wolverine in this trade too? That'd be cool.
That would be the best if they were to get him. A little short though.
Are you going
to
go? That's fine. That's fine.
Are you going to go?
So is Nick Madrigal.
You got a perfect movie day.
Well, it depends on what you and Parkins are doing.
Spiegel.
Oh, you and Spiegel are doing
right. I think we have Willie Harris at 240.
Oh well, then do you like the Well, Spiegel's, he wants to do some stuff, so yeah, I'll
get you out. You want to see a movie? Go see a movie.
I'll go see the 2 o'clock. And by the time I get there, the previews are all done, and I can watch my movie.
Oh, you don't like the previews? I love the previews.
I don't feel like we're in a good cycle of movies right now.
It's a summer. This is when they dump everything out there before the next round of Oscar bait.
Olympus is fallen. Like, I'm good.
Aquaman 6. This time it's not horrible.
This time it's on land.
Debatable.
Yeah, it's...
Well, they Aquaman 6, we're still trying.
They have changed everything, and the whole universe has changed, and they showed a new logo. It's a really nice logo,
this time it's on land. And he wears a cape and flies.
Like DC, Aquaman. DC put out a really nice new logo, but I think that they thought it was going to get more love at Comic-Con than they did. Mm. They kind of went with kind of an older Superman, and then it turns, and it's like, it's very cool, but at that thing, you're looking for a big old pop, and it was like, yay on the new logo?
Bears.
They got a bigger pop, but they just said Bears.
Speaking of Comic-Con, did you hear that...
Bears.
I guess this happened a while ago that...
Bears.
That Kamala Harris did the Treehouse of Horror Kang and Kodos political speech line?
No.
Yes. And we've got it somewhere. I think we have to... Somebody's got it. Where she said something like, my fellow Americans, as a young woman, I dreamed of being a baseball. But tonight I say we must move forward, not backward.
Are we sure it's not AI?
No, that's what I thought, too. Apparently she did it. Like, as a dare, or like she was put up to it to work it in.
That says
upward,
to me she should be present.
Not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling toward freedom. That she said that at a Comic-Con.
If she's that big of a Simpsons fan, then Studs is going to run out and vote for her.
But it was brought back. So I think she did it a couple of years ago. But my first thought was, no way.
Oh, by the way, another thing that happened at San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, one of them I'll talk about at high noon. But my guy Kyle Higgins, who I did Radiant Black with, he has... Actually, Dan, it's a comic that you should get in on because I think that you would like it. It's called No One. No One is the name of the comic.
Okay.
And it's kind of subversive, like political doxing type thriller.
Mm.
And that got greenlit to be on a screen. So shout out to Kyle Higgins and the boys. And I did a voice for one of the things that they did.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So I'm very excited for Kyle. He continues to put out incredible content. And so, then there was something else that happened at Comic-Con, which I'll talk about.
We got
later.
I just got to the bottom of this Kamala Harris Simpsons thing. Apparently that clip, which resurfaced over the weekend, was recorded years ago.
Right.
So it's not a new clip, but she has done. There is a recording.
Was she a senator back then, or was this like when she was hanging out with Montel Williams?
All that TMZ.com says is they've spoken with sources close to the show, so The Simpsons, and they tell us it's an old clip recorded years ago that's resurfacing because they're saying people predicted.
But she did say it.
And the other point of clarity is it has nothing to do with Comic-Con whatsoever. It was not shot for Comic-Con, nothing to do with Comic-Con.
But it resurfaced there, yes. And it became a talk there because that's where the nerds are that would appreciate it and would understand the twirling toward freedom reference.
I will say it's a lot to go to one of those. Like, I go to C2E2 every year, and it's, I mean, for my crowd anxiety, it's not great, but...
Hey, man, Chicago's got everything you want. You want the Furries Convention, there will be one of those.
Well, Pittsburgh's become big on the Furries Convention.
McCutcheon loves it, right?
Wait, why Pittsburgh?
It's not because of McCutcheon. For some reason, they're big on that. The Pittsburgh Furry Convention is apparently like a big deal.
Okay, I just didn't know if that was like where they started or something.
So,
you know?
So years ago, I'm there, okay? Mel and I are there. We went to go see like Crawford Field, and like we were looking at all of this historic stuff. We flagged down a cab. And, you know, like you're sitting there. We can't find a cab. We always wonder, hey, can we not find a cab because we were a mixed couple, right? And this guy
is that difficult as a mixed couple?
Sometimes, depending on where you are.
Wow.
This guy screeched on his brakes to let us get into the cab, and he looked like he had been through hell. And we said, thanks for picking us up. We had a little bit of trouble catching a cab. And he's like, well, you all look normal. And we're like, we weren't really sure how to take that. So we were like, why do we look normal? Well, they're people and they're dressed like animals. And they got in my cab and then they wouldn't talk. They would just bark or hiss or do other things.
Well, they were in character.
Right. I was like, oh, so then when we came back, we got dropped off at a different hotel. And he's like, the convention's over there. So we were like, let's go. So we went over there and I was talking to one of the guys at the door. And he's like, it's really been the worst because there are some people who are taking it too far. And I'm like, what do you mean taking it too far? That they're, going like animals.
Ew.
Yeah.
Okay. But like in the cab?
No, not in the cab.
This was the door guy.
At the hotel.
Okay.
I
part of what they're there for.
Dan, the panic on the man's face who was driving us in the cab. He was so relieved. And I was like, we should just start acting real weird.
Like you weren't planning on doing that anyway.
Yeah, but then we were like, can you take us to the blackest part of Pittsburgh? And he was like, sorry, I took this ride. He didn't say that. He's
but there's
nice
there's
man.
A furry convention here too. People,
there
want
is.
Isn't there a big porn convention here every year?
As yes, there should be.
Right.
Hello.
No, it's not a hub convention. Not a porn hub convention. Hello.
People still haven't caught on to that, have they?
What that we included in his open the Pornhub music.
I mean, you didn't have to say it out loud, Dan. We could have just kind of
now you ruined
or,
a bit.
Thank you.
Yes, that was a credit to...
That was a nice inside bit, yes. And now it's ruined.
Well, now we will place all credit to Jay Zawoski and me.
Yeah.
For that.
Thanks to Dan, apparent writer of Aquaman 6.
The world.
They should all right, do we want to hear the Kamala Harris thing?
Sure.
Our country should move forward, not backward. Upward, not forward. And always twirling, twirling, twirling toward freedom.
Okay. Wasn't quite delivered as in with the grandiosity and oratorical flair. I forgot it was Kang or Kodos who did it. But
no, don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
When we return, the White Sox rumor that is the White Soxiest White Sox rumor that ever White Soxed.
Ooh, that's a tease. Next on the score.
Go Whiteside.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
What the f*** is going on?
A fair question for any time, actually. So, AJ Pierzynski's done a really nice job rehabbing his reputation as sort of a clubhouse piece into a well-liked broadcaster and podcaster who isn't afraid to tell some unvarnished truths.
Yeah, and he told a lot of unvarnished truths before the season, and AJ was also technically a White Sox ambassador. And then he told us when we talked to him on opening day that he was no longer going to be an ambassador for the White Sox. He said it on his podcast too, Foul Territory. And now there are rumors that he would be one of the people that they would want to manage the team when they fire Pedro Grifol. By the way, if you were looking for a time, another masterful 14-game losing streak you got going on where the manager is going, I don't know why our guys aren't playing hard.
Well, and when it comes from Bob Nightingale, we know he's getting it directly from Jerry Reinsdorf.
We know that he has very good sources high up with the White Sox.
Named Jerry Reinsdorf.
I would imagine one of them is Jerry Reinsdorf, but one of them could also be Chris Getz.
Could be, but the fact that you're hearing that name is it's so Sox. First of all, on a couple levels here. First of all, I don't know if AJ Pierzynski would be a good manager. My worry is that a lot of his clubhouse instincts as a player would have to be channeled into a way where his messages could resonate positively.
Okay.
Also, with where his arrow is pointed in media, why would he give that up? Why?
Because he could always go back to it.
Okay.
And he can charge more.
Okay.
As former manager.
Okay.
Same thing with Big Jeff, where now you get to come back and you get to be former head coach. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You get to throw that onto your resume and you can end up pushing your dollars. He loves baseball. And maybe he would want to do it. I'd be fine with him being in a group of people. He for sure would be someone that I would talk to.
But it's just would be the most White Sox thing in the world to not think outside their bubble.
Of the family.
The bubble. Break it open. Get out of it. Do something rather than revert. Well, we tried it with this, and now we got to go back to people we know who understand we're all of in this old decrepit mansion where all of the secrets are here in Hogwarts or whatever. It just lets some sunlight into the organization.
Well, they kind of don't want that, though.
More than kind of. That's what bugs me. Well,
I don't think that keeps AJ from being a good managerial prospect.
I think he'd be a great managerial prospect for Team X. I don't like the fact that he would, first of all, I would be skeptical of anybody who would want to join this organization, first of all. it's a corollary of that. I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have anyone like me as a member. But this is like it says something about you if you want to work in this baseball organization.
Yeah, but maybe it's not that. Maybe it is. I want to be a manager. Here is the place that's going to allow me to do that.
Right, but why wouldn't
quickly?
Why wouldn't you be able to do that elsewhere, have a better situation, and learn from smarter people rather than having Tony La Russa breathing down your neck?
Because this is the way that it seems to work. Was anyone else offering David Ross a managerial job?
Not at the moment. Nope. And AJ, the way that, was it Vogt? Who is Stephen Vogt?
He might be the manager of the year this year.
He is right now.
So it's not like it's unprecedented.
I think he could be a really good manager. I don't like the fact that they're again slipping back into the comfort zone of, well, he's one of us came up through here. And it glosses over the fact that there were a lot of people who didn't like him.
Yeah, but not any of them would question his knowledge of the game. And look, this is a much softer AJ that we're seeing in his role in the media. So I would say that there's the opportunity for all of us to mature and to change.
No doubt. And he has as a broadcaster, which is why I mentioned that once that uniform is on again and you're back in the baseball milieu, is he going to revert back to old AJ?
But I think that there are elements of old AJ that would be perfect for a managerial
Absolutely.
Role.
But that's why also it was clear that to channel some of those aspects of his personality into delivering a message with less snark and more constructive criticism.
Sure.
I think that would be the real sign of maturity to be able to teach rather than haze.
I also think that some of the AJ stuff, not all of it, some of the AJ stuff is overstated. I think that there's a level of it that's bit, you know? Some of it's true, and some of it's rough, but some of it is like, yeah, you know, we just do the thing where we make fun of AJ because AJ was kind of a jerk. And then people kind of lean into that. It's like how we lean into you being a jerk. You're okay. Not actually a jerk, but, you know, you're you. So we lean into it. See what I mean?
The worst.
Exactly. But I don't have an issue with that. I think AJ, I know AJ is really smart at baseball.
But my worry is, too, that his personality and his nature continues to fit with Reinsdorf's proud low reliance on analytics. And that's the fact that you keep hiring guys that are either baseball-y and super baseball-y. We know that Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't want to use the same information that other teams use. And in all of these hires and all of these sort of default settings lead me to believe that they're not going to spend the money. They're not going to do, it really gets back to what's essential here is tripling the size of the department that other teams use to give them information.
But if you look at some of the people that AJ has put on his podcast, some of the people that he's talked to, I think that he's evolving.
But will he fight for it? Will he tell Jerry, yeah, Jerry, I'll do it, but look, I got to have the same stuff at my disposal that my counterparts do.
I don't think you would even, I don't see any way that he doesn't fight. I actually would counter and say, don't you want someone who isn't just a robot to Chris Getz?
Oh, no, I don't want that at all.
Right.
Or La Russa. More importantly, I would like AJ to say, I'm not going to pay fealty to Tony La Russa. I am not going to find every microphone and tell you how awesome I think La Russa is. And like everything Grifol did to completely emasculate himself, like prostrating himself at the altar of Tony La Russa.
Now, of everything you know of AJ, does that fit his personality at all?
I hope it doesn't in this. I hope it's not a condition of the job. I hope it's not. If he would just say, look, I'm not interested in anything Tony La Russa has to say.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with taking information from Tony La Russa. The problem is the implicit he's kind of in charge of it thing is what I have an issue with. It's fine. Like, it's fine. Yeah, okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate you. Have a nice day. Mm-hmm. We got it. We got it. And I think that AJ is probably more ready to step into the role where there is going to be similarly to what I think, what I hope Craig Counsell is doing is that I don't care if you did pay me $8 million a year. Part of the reason that you pay me $8 million a year is because I know what I'm doing. And I think that Jed and Carter need someone to go, guys, are we running a spreadsheet or are we running a baseball team? And even though Craig is a lot more intellectual and he's very low key, I do think that there is some, hey man, there's baseball to be played. So let's build a baseball team. Let's not build a rotisserie league team. And I think AJ's got that same thing.
Well, if that's the case, then I think AJ could be a really good manager. I think he could be a better manager in a different organization.
Maybe. And if I'm AJ, I don't know if I want a project. And this is for sure a project for a while. And you don't want to have happen to you what happened to Robin Ventura, where Robin Ventura is one of the franchise's greatest players, but the lasting memory of Robin Ventura for most White Sox fans is a guy who did this team a favor and kind of didn't want to manage and then did it poorly. But you're right. It would be, it would feel better if, hey, one of the names that's being mentioned around baseball for possibilities of having no coaching experience but ending up manager is A.J. Pruszynski. There are a lot of people talking about A.J. and not just the White Sox. Like, that would feel better than the White Sox are just going to hit the reset with a White Sox.
I also think that I've come around to really liking A.J. as a broadcaster. And I was dubious about that. And if his trajectory is similar as a manager and my feelings are changed similarly, awesome.
Yeah, I've always liked A.J. You know, like, and someone said, well, the only people that hate A.J. are the folks that are facing him. That's not true.
You love him when he's on your team and you hate him when he's on the other team. No, it's the opposite.
That's not true. There are plenty of people that didn't like AJ as their teammate. Ozzy has joked about it. The Ozzy quote is, if you play against AJ, you hate him. If you play with AJ, you hate him a little less.
A little less, yes.
But no, if I'd be on board with AJ getting an opportunity, as long as he goes into it being AJ and not feeling like he has to come save the White Sox. As long as he goes into it and says, we need to fix this, 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 and this before I'll even, you need to make a commitment to me that that's what you want to do, or else I'm not taking your job.
Great. But he doesn't need it.
Because he doesn't need it. And AJ's personality would lend me to believe that that's exactly the approach he would take in the interviewing process
okay.
with them.
All right, I feel a little better about it then.
Which also might make them go, I don't know if we want this. I don't know if we want a guy who's going to call us on our bull. You know what I'm saying?
Because he's an inside guy, not an outside. Usually that's the Jimmy Rollins thing. Usually, or it's an interviewee who's like, wait, this, you do what here? Or,
what kind of stuff do you guys do?
This is all you have for this? Really? Oh.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh,
okay. High Noon is straight ahead. I have to figure out why a certain thing is happening that sounds kind of dangerous, but I'm hopeful that people can fix this current problem that we're having on airplanes.
Okay. There is major news in the world of comic books and comic book movies. I'll discuss next here on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
High Noon time it is. We began by breaking down the fundamentals of the Christopher Morel trade and the feelings that surround it and asking the open questions about what it means for somebody like Matt Shaw and the Cubs pipeline at third base, what it means for Nick Madrigal and others, and why the Rays would part with an all-star who's 25 years old under contract control. We shall see as we await the deadline. The name that I was told to circle is one that's been talked about a lot. That's Jameson Taillon. That if you were trying to bet who might be next, that would be the one I was told it could be. Mark Grody was being chased by a lawnmower this time.
And by Lawnmower Man.
As he joined us. We celebrated the return of football or something resembling a football enough.
People in Bears uniforms that are tackling to the ground.
On Thursday, and the Bob Nightingale report that A.J. Pierzynski would be under consideration as next White Sox manager in some ways is just so White Sox. But we could hope that maybe the force of nature that is A.J. Pierzynski could be a force for change.
It's high noon.
With Jonathan Majors being persona non grata, Marvel found themselves kind of in a weird space because they had set him up as the big bad for this next phase of movies. Well, they went and got the biggest bad, I think, in the MCU to handle the next phase of it. And it was interesting, their choice to play Victor Von Doom. I shouldn't even say that. The choice to play Dr. Doom going forward is a very familiar one. It's Robert Downey Jr. Here's the thing. You can do a lot with the multiverse stuff. There's all sorts of, and I would highly recommend people, if you're interested in how to make this work, Secret Wars, which is going to be one of their movies, I think, and Infowars, Infamous. You can check that out too. Infamous Iron Man.
Turning the frogs gay.
Infamous Iron Man is something that you should check out. If you need Dr. Doom to be Tony Stark, there is also a version in the comic where there's an alternate universe where Victor Von Doom and Tony Stark are roommates in college. They work on a project together. The project, Doom tricks Iron Man, or tricks Stark into them switching bodies so that he can have access to all of Tony Stark's money and privilege and women and all of that stuff. There's a whole bunch of different ways they can do this.
I think this is all obscuring something much more fundamental.
Which is?
And that
Robert Downey Jr. is a really good actor?
He is, but we as viewers, especially those of us who are fans but not super fans, I'm not a total Marvel mark.
Yeah.
You know, I like to wait for the reviews to come out.
Yeah, that's me and Studs.
And, yeah, you guys see everything no matter what, and I get that. I respect it. I'm not that, and I like it. I read the comics as a kid. I think the movie, if the good movies are good, the bad movies are bad.
Yep.
And
they're trying to get back to a place where they're doing less so that the quality level is higher.
But the association of an actor in a role, to then have him in the same place in a different role, it's a lot of trust in the actor.
Who just won an Oscar.
Who is a wonderful, talented actor. And it also is, I just think the leap of faith there asks a lot of the casual mainstream audience.
Yes, but one of the things that's happened over the last couple of years is the multiverse has opened up all of the, like, they've been playing around with it for a while. Like, a lot of people thought, well, how are you going to keep doing Black Panther now that Chadwick Boseman has died? Well, what you could do is find a multiverse version of Killmonger and then have Michael B. Jordan take over the role. Like, people were open to that, and that's one of the things that they did in What If, is they've opened the portal, which is part of what Deadpool and Wolverine is making fun of. Not that I've seen it yet, but just from what I've read and seen in the all of the junkets, is like, that's kind of what they're making fun of. And then you had everything with Loki, where Loki opened the door to here's a universe where Loki is this, here's a universe where Loki is that, here's a universe where Loki's a woman, here's a universe where Loki's a goat, here's like all of that stuff.
Well, it's sort of like WandaVision,
the alligator one,
in what they
alligator is my favorite.
I mean, sort of what they did with Vision and...
Yes, and Wanda, that's all this is. Now, this could also have them close the circle. You could get to the point where you build all this stuff out and get through Secret Wars, and then you end up in one universe where the X-Men exist, where the Fantastic Four exist, where Doctor Doom exists, where Galactus exists. You can put it all into one universe by collapsing the multiverse, but by bringing everyone into whatever we're calling the MCU.
Just make a really good movie. Don't confuse me too much. Make it worth my $15 or whatever it is.
I agree.
I'm going to need this, a little more information as to what's going on here, but apparently some commercial airlines are reporting exploding soda cans on flights.
Is that because, like, air pressure and them freezing the cans?
It's the opposite. They're saying that the bursting cans have affected multiple flight attendants being hurt by shrapnel and or the force of it.
It's the old bit you do in college when
it's the heat
where you take a can of pop and you throw it in your friend's freezer and then it explodes in the middle of the night.
They're saying that soaring temperatures and intense heat waves have brought sweltering conditions in cities like Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas is where this is happening. This is all heat related. So I don't get it. There's no explanation as to what the heat is doing to make this happen. Are pallets of soda cans sitting outside or sitting in unheated trucks that come over on the scissor lifts? I can't quite get this because planes themselves, they obviously the pressure can make a difference. But how
it'll always be so hot when you're sitting there on the tarmac. Though.
Right, I know, but we're thinking, you know, PV equals NRT. We did this with the deflated footballs, having to deal with the ideal gas law and the ideal gas constant. And I don't know if it's PV was NRT, and then I could do.
But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one.
No, it's not math.
As sacrifice.
This is a physics equation. It's pressure times volume,
which is
equals
math.
N and R, which are two constants, times temperature. But how does that result in the can exploding on the plane? One way or another, this ain't good. So either you got to refrigerate those things a little bit longer before you get them on the plane or something. But I'm intrigued by this and a little frightened by it. So maybe everybody just has to order tomato juice. Maybe you don't want the carbonated stuff on there anymore.
Hey, just get Bloody Marys and you'll be fine.
Bring your own water bottle. It's always helpful.
Yeah, but if you bring your own water bottle, you gotta go fill it after you get through the thing.
Yeah, usually on the way to the gate. It's not that hard. They have multiple.
Do they have the water bottle filler things?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you not been to an airport?
I don't travel with my own water bottle.
Yeah, they're like everywhere.
Okay, usually at every restroom, there's a water filler thing.
Okay, I like those things.
Yeah. Welcome, Dan. Welcome.
Welcome to the future, sir.
Okay, well, good. That's cool then. I still want to know why this is going on.
Well, why don't we figure out why the Cubs are making trades?
Okay.
Sahadev Sharma is going to help us in that regard, and we'll find out who's been blocked by the Cubs in their moves next on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
High noon time it is. We began by breaking down the fundamentals of the Christopher Morel trade and the feelings that surround it and asking the open questions about what it means for somebody like Matt Shaw and the Cubs pipeline at third base, what it means for Nick Madrigal and others, and why the Rays would part with an all-star who's 25 years old under contract control. We shall see as we await the deadline. The name that I was told to circle is one that's been talked about a lot. That's Jameson Taillon. That if you were trying to bet who might be next, that would be the one I was told it could be. Mark Grody was being chased by a lawnmower this time.
And by Lawnmower Man.
As he joined us. We celebrated the return of football, or something resembling a football enough.
People in Bears uniforms that are tackling to the ground.
On Thursday, and the Bob Nightingale report that A.J. Pierzynski would be under consideration as next White Sox manager in some ways is just so White Sox. But we could hope that maybe the force of nature that is A.J. Pierzynski could be a force for change.
It's time.
With Jonathan Majors being persona non grata, Marvel found themselves kind of in a weird space because they had set him up as the big bad for this next phase of movies. Well, they went and got the biggest bad, I think, in the MCU to handle the next phase of it. And it was interesting, their choice to play Victor Von Doom. I shouldn't even say that. The choice to play Dr. Doom going forward is a very familiar one. It's Robert Downey Jr. Here's the thing. You can do a lot with the multiverse stuff. There's all sorts of, and I would highly recommend people, if you're interested in how to make this work, Secret Wars, which is going to be one of their movies, I think, and Infowars, Infamous. You can check that out too. Infamous Iron Man.
Turning the frogs gay.
Infamous Iron Man is something that you should check out. If you need Doctor Doom to be Tony Stark, there is also a version in the comic where there's an alternate universe where Victor Von Doom and Tony Stark are roommates in college. They work on a project together. The project, Doom tricks Iron Man, or tricks Stark into them switching bodies so that he can have access to all of Tony Stark's money and privilege and women and all of that stuff. There's a whole bunch of different ways they can do this.
I think this is all obscuring something much more fundamental.
Which is?
And that is,
Robert Downey Jr. is a really good actor?
He is, but we as viewers, especially those of us who are fans but not super fans, I'm not a total Marvel mark.
Yeah.
You know, I like to wait for the reviews to come out.
Yeah, that's me and Studs.
And, yeah, you guys see everything no matter what, and I get that. I respect it. I'm not that, and I like it. I read the comics as a kid. I think the movie, if the good movies are good, the bad movies are bad.
Yep.
And
they're trying to get back to a place where they're doing less so that the quality level is higher.
But the association of an actor in a role to then have him in the same place in a different role, it's a lot of trust in the actor.
Who just won an Oscar.
Who is a wonderful, talented actor. And it also is, I just think the leap of faith there asks a lot of the casual mainstream audience.
Yes, but one of the things that's happened over the last couple of years is the multiverse has opened up all of the, like, they've been playing around with it for a while. Like, a lot of people thought, well, how are you going to keep doing Black Panther now that Chadwick Boseman has died? Well, what you could do is find a multiverse version of Killmonger and then have Michael B. Jordan take over the role. Like, people were open to that, and that's one of the things that they did in What If, is they've opened the portal, which is part of what Deadpool and Wolverine is making fun of. Not that I've seen it yet, but just from what I've read and seen in the all of the junkets, is like, that's kind of what they're making fun of. And then you had everything with Loki, where Loki opened the door to here's a universe where Loki is this, here's a universe where Loki is that, here's a universe where Loki's a woman, here's a universe where Loki's a goat, here's, like, all of that stuff.
Well, it's sort of like WandaVision.
In the alligator one.
In what they
alligator did. Is my favorite.
I mean, sort of what they did with Vision and...
Yes, and Wanda, that's all this is. Now, this could also have them close the circle. You could get to the point where you build all this stuff out and get through Secret Wars, and then you end up in one universe where the X-Men exist, where the Fantastic Four exist, where Doctor Doom exists, where Galactus exists. You can put it all into one universe by collapsing the multiverse, but by bringing everyone into whatever we're calling the MCU.
Just make a really good movie. Don't confuse me too much. Make it worth my $15 or whatever it is.
I agree.
I'm gonna need this a little more information as to what's going on here, but apparently some commercial airlines are reporting exploding soda cans on flights.
Is that because, like, air pressure and them freezing the cans?
It's the opposite. They're saying that the bursting cans have affected multiple flight attendants being hurt by shrapnel and or the force of it.
It's the old bit you do in college when...
It's the heat.
Where you take a can of pop and you throw it in your friend's freezer and then it explodes in the middle of the night.
They're saying that soaring temperatures and intense heat waves have brought sweltering conditions in cities like Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas is where this is happening. This is all heat related. So I don't get it. There's no explanation as to what the heat is doing to make this happen. Are pallets of soda cans sitting outside or sitting in unheated trucks that come over on the scissor lifts. I can't quite get this because planes themselves, they obviously the pressure can make a difference. But how
it'll always be so hot when you sit there on the tarmac.
Though. Right, I know, but we're thinking, you know, PV equals NRT. Is it, we're back to we did this with the deflated footballs having to deal with the ideal gas law and the ideal gas constant. And I don't know if it's it PV was NRT, and then I could do.
But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one.
No, it's not math.
As sacrifice.
This is a physics equation. It's pressure times volume,
which is
equals
math.
N and R, which are two constants times temperature. But how does that result in the can exploding on the plane? One way or another, this ain't good. So either you got to refrigerate those things a little bit longer before you get them on the plane or something. But I'm intrigued by this and a little frightened by it. So maybe everybody just has to order tomato juice. Maybe you don't want the carbonated stuff on there anymore.
Hey, just get Bloody Marys and you'll be fine.
Bring your own water bottle. It's always helpful.
Yeah, but if you bring your own water bottle, you gotta go fill it after you get through the thing.
Yeah, it's usually on the way to the gate. It's not that hard. They have multiple.
Do they have the water bottle filler things?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Have you not been to an airport?
I don't travel with my own water bottle.
Yeah, they're like everywhere.
Okay, usually at every restroom, there's a water filler thing.
Okay, I like those things.
Yeah. Welcome, Dan. Welcome.
Welcome to the future, sir.
Okay, well, good. That's cool then. I still want to know why this is going on.
Well, why don't we figure out why the Cubs are making trades?
Okay.
Sahadev Sharma is going to help us in that regard, and we'll find out who's been blocked by the Cubs in their moves next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.